So we have got for each of these zones, we have got a total sales and we have got a total gross margin. Now this sales figure is already taken care of as the revenue. Now this gross margin is the amount from which we are going to deduct expenses. So what happens? First we said sales expenses. Now once we have got this type of a setup, like in sales expenses, there can be heads like salaries, conveyance, communication, reimbursement of expenses, commission, incentives, various heads can come all these. Similarly, when we are talking about there, let us say there is a All India sales manager who may be a general manager of sales. Now what happens? Similar expenses of this gentleman or this lady, it can be like his or her salaries, conveyance, travel, they visit all the zones and all. So that can also come as an amount. Now this amount also I must apportion to the different zones, right? Because ultimately that cost is incurred because I am having sales at these various zones. Now the issue which comes is, how do we apportion this expense? Now there can be several methods on which this is apportioned. Like, if for instance there are four zones and let us say there is an amount of 15 lakhs which have been incurred for, let us say, travel or something. So one method can be that I apportion to each zone equally because there are four zones. So that can be a method. One may say that instead of doing it equally on all the zones, we may say that let us do it in proportion to the number of people who are there. And there is again a logic that if there are more people in some zone, it automatically means that more attention may have been given to that zone. It can also be done, which is the most common part by any standard, is in proportion to the sales. Like if, for instance, there is a certain sales of each of the zone which comes to an All India sales, then I divide the total expense by that sales and do it in proportion to what has been the sales of North Zone, what has been the sales of East Zone, West Zone and South Zone. So this is basically done in proportion to the sales which is incurred. Now there the logic may come that the one who is having more sales, automatically what happens is that more attention may have gone there. But sometimes it may not be totally logical also, because what can happen that at the head office level, if they find that this particular area, the sales are lagging and I want to bring it up, then I may actually have to give more attention to that zone. But anyway, for the time being, let us say that one method we said is equally, one we said is in proportion to the number of people. Third, we said that is in proportion to the sales. A fourth method can be that we'll do it in proportion to the gross margins. Like similarly, what we did for the sales. So here we say that if there is an All India gross margin, then we now distribute this amongst the four zones pro rata to the gross margin of each zone. Now here the logic is that one who has got a higher gross margin can absorb a little extra expense. There can be another method also where we may say that depending upon what is the number of offices in each zone, we may do an apportioning. So like this, there can again be something where we may say, on the basis of the potential of a zone. So we can have several methods by which we are going to apportion this all India cost to the several zones. But of these, the most popular, and there is also a logic to it, which I'll now explain, is the one where we do it in proportion to the sales of each zone. Now I'll give you what is the logic for this. And before that, I will introduce you to another thing, that these expenses which we are incurring, like selling expenses, distribution expenses, all these, they are actually costs. And when we look at costs, a normal concept is that I can have a fixed cost, I can have a variable cost. What is the fixed cost? Fixed cost is the cost which tends to remain fixed over a period of time, irrespective of the volume. And variable cost is the one which varies with the volume. But again, please understand, it is relative, because there is nothing like which is fixed. You are beyond a certain thing, that fixed may also slightly change. And variable also, while we say that it may be directly variable, there are certain times when we find that you may get some type of economy and all, that the variable may also change. But having said fixed and variable, when we look at these, we bring two other concepts. First one is that cost controllable in the hands of the center head? So what we are saying, that supposing there is this expense of the salesman's salary. Now there, while the salary rate may have been decided by an HR department, the unit head, like the zonal head, can get better utilization of that resource in terms of sales. Like he may have been given a salesman at a certain salary, while the salary is determined by the HR, but through that salesman, the amount of business that he can get, to that extent, it becomes partly managed and partly controllable. If, for instance, he is incurring expenses, distribution expenses, freight for sending material to distributors, now whether he is able to get a better rate or a lower rate, or he is able to get better utilization of capacity so that the unit rate goes down, that is controllable in his hand. But when we look at the head office expenses, like the general manager and all, we will find that that is not controllable in the hands of the salesman, or that's unit head. Now this, which is not controllable, that means it's an expense which is just coming, being apportioned to that zone. So there, the most logical method is apportioning it as a percentage of the sales. Because what happens, when we take the gross margin as a percentage of sales, and from that we are going to deduct this expense to come to the net margin. So if this particular expense is also done in proportion to the sales, then you'll find that the percentage, when we are going to look at all the zones on a comparative basis, their comparative base is not disturbed. Like if I do it equally, a particular, and then finally I'm going to deduct it from the gross margin to come to the net margin, a particular zone which in absolute terms may have done lesser gross margin, but as a percentage he is all right. Once this amount goes away in an absolute amount, you may find that the ratio gets adversely affected. But if it is done in the same proportion as the sales, then what happens is the ratio does not get affected. So the most logical method for apportioning expenses which are from the head office, the best method is doing it in proportion to sales. And this proportioning, apportioning, is something. Why it is done is because if we look at it in a very objective way, we'll find that this is an expense on which the zonal head has no control. It is incurred by somebody else and it is being apportioned. So the most logical method is apportioning this expense as a percentage of sales. So let's move forward. So one, what we are saying, there are selling expenses where we have got the zonal or the territory people whose salaries, conveyance, expenses, all these we are taking. We may also get some expenses which are coming all the way from head office and they are being apportioned. So here we are getting what we call the sales expenses. And here, as we are saying, that we bring in this concept that there is something which is controllable. There is a question of how you are managing it. And there are expenses which are beyond your control. So the first head we say is sales expenses. What can be the other expenses? We are definitely going to have what we call distribution expenses. And distribution expenses will be expenses under the heads of what you are incurring by way of warehouse charges, carrying and forwarding agent charges, secondary freight charges, there are transportations which are involving, handling charges, go down charges, insurance charges, transit insurance, all these will come under distribution expenses. So here again, each particular expense, while it is being put there and deducted from the gross margin, one can always relate it that what is it as a percentage of sales for the zone. And through that, one can find out that whether it is being controlled well or not. Because for each of the expenses at an all India level, again, you'll get an average. And against that, when we pitch what is there at each zone level, we can actually come out at which particular zone has been able to handle the expenses better, which of them has not been able to handle it better. And this way we can actually come and decide what has been the actually effectiveness of these expenses. So we'll have sales, distribution. The third head which comes is the administrative expenses. What come under the heads of administrative expenses? Every place you will find there will be an office, there will be an establishment, there will be rentals, there will be power charges, communication charges, secretarial charges, several issues which are coming, and these will all come under administrative expenses. And here again, one can see how it is being managed and controlled by the central head. The last one, which we call marketing expenses, now here, again, we can get them under two heads. One obviously will be advertisement and all. Now, advertisement generally is again incurred at some place which is like the head office marketing department and all. Advertisements, again, you will find can be on national channels, it can be broadcast, it can be press, it can be outdoor. And many of the times, that advertisement expense which you are incurring, that advertisement expense may be product-wise. So one of the methods of apportioning this can be that for each product, what has been that advertisement or the marketing expenses, that expense you may like to again apportion to the zones in proportion to the sales made by the zone. Right? So why advertising? Because in the case of advertisement expenses, we are not sure whether that advertisement has been able to translate it to sales. It is something which we are incurring for brand awareness, brand assurance, or reminding people about the brand, a campaign which is there, all these can be there. So there we'll have to basically try and relate that to how much you are incurring for each of the products. But there is another head which comes here, and that is the sales promotion. Sales promotion expenses are more directly related to the sales. For instance, I may have sales promotion expenses which are directed at the consumer, like we can do one thing for every, tube of toothpaste, there is a brush given free. So that brush expense is only going to be incurred when the toothpaste has been sold. This is when we do it at the consumer level. The other can be that we give at a trade level. So we tell the retailers that if you buy 12 pieces, I'll give you one piece free. So the sales promotion expenses is always incurred when the sale has taken place. So the sales promotion expenses would be on actuals, and they will go zone to zone product wise. Advertising, you may have to apportion on the basis of a percentage of sales. Correct. So here we have seen there are four things which are coming. So the selling and the sales promotion expenses, we can do it directly as per percentage of sales. Having done all this, then we come to a stage where, so see what happens, we have got a gross margin. From this gross margin, we deduct. What are the expenses we deduct? We are taking out sales expenses. Then we take out distribution expenses. Then we take out administrative expenses. And then the last one we take out marketing expenses. Now when we deduct this from this gross margin, all these expenses, then we come to what we call the net margin. So here what we say, I get net margin. This net margin again, we will see that what percentage that net margin is of sales. So I take the sales and the net margin and I find out what the percentage is. So again, I may get different percentages for the different zones as well as all India. And like what we had done in the case of the gross margin, here again we can evaluate and find out which is the one which has done better. But only here just remember one thing. In the case of the gross margin, while the gross margin percentage for each product may be the same across the country, when we take the total gross margin as a percentage of the total sales, we may find they differ. And there, it is contributed by which zone has been able to control the product mix better. In the way that if the particular territory has been able to sell more of a product which has got a higher gross margin, then obviously what happens is that particular zone has performed better in comparison to the other zones. When we come to the net margin as a percentage of sales, here again we'll find that the contributing factor to the performance is how each of these zones has been able to control these expenses. Because see, in absolute amount, a zone which is selling more may have higher sales expenses. It may have more distribution expenses. But when we look at that expense as a percentage of sales, that means we are now trying to relate in terms of what is the input I have put and what is the output I have got, then what comes out is which zone has been able to better manage its expenses. So see, on the basis of the gross margin percentage and then on the basis of the net margin percentage, one can fairly put a type of an idea as to which territory is performing better, which territory is able to get better output from the resources that it is putting, and to that extent has been performing well. So the territory level performance when we are looking at, these are the yardsticks on which we measure. But if you remember, in the earlier chapter when we talked about the profit center, we had also mentioned that just the net margin is not all. What is the other thing we talked of, if you recall? We had said we have also to see what is the return on the investment. Now over here, how are we going to do the return on the investment? Now here, if you look in this chapter, there is a particular problem which has been solved, but I'll just give you an overall idea. For each of the three product lines that we spoke of and the zones which we are there, this company has got a certain policy. And what is the policy? It says that every distributor, every stockist, or every intermediary that you are selling through, while you are selling to them, to the intermediaries or to the market, this particular company may sometimes extend credit in the market. So it is possible that because this is typically a local condition, it is possible that in one zone, they may be able to manage with an average 30 days of credit in the market. In another zone, it is possible that it may be managing it better at 20 days credit, and some may be even doing at 15 days credit. Because this credit which you are extending in the market is a function of what is the trade relation, what is your relation vis-a-vis your buyer, what is the custom, how good you are in recoveries, all these issues come. So what can happen is, for each of the zones, you may come out that on an average, this is the market outstandings, market receivables in number of days which can come. On the other hand, in order to cater to sales, each zone has got to stock materials. And when it stocks materials, when it keeps stocks, then that stock will also be in relation to how many days stocks you are keeping. Is it a month's equivalent? Is it 45 days? Is it 15 days? So when we are looking at what is the investment which is coming, then we will observe that generally you have got investment in the working capital as a current asset in stocks and market receivables. There may be other expenses also, like you have prepaid expenses, you may have booked television time by giving advances, you may have advanced some money to some outdoor agency and all. So these all become what we say current assets. Against this, there may be current liabilities, which we call manufacturer's credit. What can they be? They may be outstanding bills, the CNFA bills which you have still not paid, transporter's bill which you have incurred but you have not paid. You may have taken advances from some security deposits from some CNFAs or from distributors. So they all become what we call current liabilities. So in order to measure what is the return on investment, you may have to find out what is the net margin that you have made and simultaneously also calculate what is the amount that has been blocked in either stocks, market receivables, prepaid expenses, advance is given, and from that you deduct if you have got any type of manufacturer's credit. That means bills which are outstanding you have not paid, some security deposits you may have collected. So they become, so on the net you come and find out what is your net working capital. And once you have got this, then this particular net margin divided by what you have got your working capital will give you whatever is your return on investment. So when we look at this, we can measure the performance of each territory in terms of sales, terms of gross margin, terms of product mix, in terms of control over expenses, in terms of how they have managed their working capital, ROI, and overall you can find out which territory is performing better. In certain organizations, instead of doing this as a return on the investment, the company may say that whatever is the working capital that you have engaged, we are going to charge you a cost of capital. So in that case, what can happen is this net margin which you have got, from that, supposing the company says that our internal cost of capital is 15% per annum, then whatever is the average working capital which that territory has been employing, that is charged at 15% per annum, and that is deducted as an expense from the net margin. So in this case, you don't do it as a return on investment. You actually find out whatever is the net margin after accounting for what has been your cost of capital. And on that basis, you can work out the percentage of this net margin from zone to zone and come and arrive at a figure. Okay? So this comes when we talk about territory wise. Now we look at this from what it can be product wise. So in product wise, what we do is, you would recall when we started this exercise, we said that for each of the zone, when we started, we said there are product. So we have got product A, B, and C. And from that, we took out sales and gross margin. But now what we do is, we take each product and we look at, for the product, what is the sales, and for the product, what is the gross margin. Now we'll concentrate only here, because now our aim is to find out the profitability of that particular product. So what we are now doing is, for each of the product, we are taking the product sales and the product gross margin. Then from this, on the basis of the total All India expenses that we had, we apportion that to each of the products in proportion to sales. So once we do that, then for each of the product, the gross margin less expenses will give you net margin for the product. And similarly, on the basis of whatever is your product's All India cost of goods sold, All India sales, and what may be your average stocking period, average outstanding period, you can find out what is the amount which is blocked or what is invested in terms of working capital for that particular product. And you can work out the product-wise profitability. So one which we did was the territory wise, which is for the zones, and the other one which we do at the product wise. And similarly here, the company, after looking at all the products which are there, it can take a view which is the product which is doing better, which is the product which may not be doing that well, and on that basis a final decision can be taken. So this chapter, which we talk of territory and product level profitability, this is how we look at these two, and they are very vital for the company to take further decisions.